The Revelation of Jesus Christ, Part 41. Revelations 20, 11 through 15. Great white throne. Then I saw a great white throne, and him who was seated on it. The earth and the heavens fled from his presence, and there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books. The sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them. And each person was judged according to what they had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the second death. Anyone whose name was not found written in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire. Help us, Lord Jesus. Help us to see you. You're coming again to judge the living and the dead. We humble ourselves before you. We repent of our sins and we turn to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Number one. The most sobering scene in all of Scripture. The most sobering scene in all of Scripture is Revelations 20, 11 through 15. It's the picture of the final judgment. It's a scene John is painting of this final infinite courtroom, majestic scene. It's most serious and most sobering. I saw a great white throne. White throne. The throne of purity of this final event. There's been mainly darkness on the earth throughout the last, since chapter 6. But now we're getting something pure, something holy, the great white throne and the person seated on the great white throne. Now, who is the person on the throne? It may be the Father on the throne. John doesn't specifically say. He says the great white throne and him who was seated on it. But it may be the Father. He's told us back in Revelations 5, verse 13. Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them saying, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. So the one who sits on the throne there was the Father, and to the Lamb be praise, honor, glory, and power forever and ever. So it may be the Father, it may be Christ, it may be Jesus Christ here, because Jesus said in Matthew 25:31, Jesus said, when the Son of Man comes, when I come back and comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Also in John 5:22, Jesus says, moreover, the Father judges no one, but has entrusted all judgment to the Son. Or it may be a combination of both. There may be, we don't know exactly what the throne looks like, if the Son and the Father are beside each other, if we're even supposed to even see it literally like that. We see a great white throne, and the majestic divine figure is the judge. The Father is the judge, but he judges through the Son, judges through the Christ. They have rejected the Christ. They have rejected the Son. That's how we will be judged. Every person will be judged, or they do not act like the Son. Many people say they're Christians, have Jesus fish on their car, but don't act anything like Jesus. That's one way of rejecting the Son. There was something so sobering in the demeanor of the person who sat on the throne that heaven and earth themselves fled away from him. All of creation trembled, wanted to run away from the one who was seated on the throne. There was no place for them. Number two. Is your name in the book of deeds or in the book of life? Is your name in the book of deeds or in the book of life? Verse 12, and I saw the dead, great and small, standing before his throne, and books were open. Another book was open, which is the book of life. The dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books. So the first set of books, which I've called the book of deeds, the dead were judged according to what they had done, recorded in the books. There's another book, which is the book of life. But which book are you in? Are you in the book of life, or are you in the book of deeds, where the dead are judged according to the deeds they have done? Daniel quoted this way in Daniel 7:10. A river of fire was flowing, coming out from before him. Thousands upon thousands attended him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court was seated, and the books were opened. So Daniel had a picture of a courtroom that he was painting. Now John has a picture of a courtroom that he is painting. No one was exempt from standing before the throne, the great and the small, the rich and the poor and the slave, male and female. Everyone stood there to find out which name, which book, or which books their name was written in. Daniel goes on to tell us in Daniel 12:1-2, at that time, Michael, the great prince who protects your people, will arise. There will be a time of distress such as not happened from the beginning of nations until then. By that time, your people, everyone whose name is found written in the book, will be delivered. Multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake, some to everlasting life, others to shame and everlasting contempt. So everyone will stand there. Some people are written in the book of life. Some are written in the books. Some will rise to everlasting life. Others will rise to everlasting contempt. The book of deeds, as I've called it. The book of works. The book of obeying the law. Whatever law, the Mosaic law or some other moral code that you have decided on. Will you be in that book? Will your deeds be recorded in that book? You don't want to be listed in that ledger. In the book of deeds, in the book of works, you don't want to be listed there. You want to be in the book. They've been separated, the book of life. In the book of life, God has given the people who have trusted in him eternal life. Jesus said that he is the life. So you could call it the book of the Lamb, or the book of Christ, or the book of the redeemed. Scripture tells us about this book several places. Exodus 32:33. The Lord replied to Moses, "Whoever has sinned against me, I will blot out of my book." Jesus spoke about the book in Luke 10:20. However, do not rejoice that the Spirit submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Paul spoke about the book in Philippians 4:3. Yes, and I ask you, my true companion, help these women, since they have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers, whose names are in the book of life. I want to be in the book. The book. The book of the Lamb. The book of life. I don't want to be found in the book of deeds. See, if you're found in the book of deeds, whatever your deeds are, whatever law, whatever moral code that you're trusting in for your salvation, if you're in the book of deeds, you will be judged according to your deeds. If you live by deeds, you're judged by deeds. I'm trusting in my deeds, my good works, the things that I can do. Well, that's okay. Except you're not good enough. And you'll be judged by those deeds. But people found in the book of life, judgment has already been paid for them in full by Christ. People found in the book of life live by grace through faith. Well, deeds don't matter then. No, deeds do matter, but if you live by grace through faith, you are rewarded because of your deeds, not judged because of your deeds. Let me say that again. If you live by grace through faith, you're not judged because of your deeds. You are rewarded because of your deeds, the things that you did unto the Lord through His strength, through His power, through His grace. So who, what are you, a works person, a law person, or are you a grace by faith person? And I believe I'm speaking to the choir tonight. Not that you're perfect. Nobody here is perfect, but you're relying upon the grace of Christ. If you were perfect, you'd be a deeds person. But we're grace people. You're grace people, right? I know I'm speaking to them. They're grace people through faith. Number three, the dead, wherever they have died, are included in the judgment. The dead, wherever they have died, are included in the judgment. Verse 13, the sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them, and each person was judged according to what they had done. Who's going to be in the deeds book? Who will be at the great white throne of condemnation, of judgment? Those who have replaced the Creator with some sort of idol of their choice. Those who have rejected grace. Those who have chosen not to live by faith. Those who have rejected the good news of Jesus Christ, out and out rejected it. And those who have lived for selfishness, wickedness, violence, greed, etc., etc. Having said that, God is the judge and we are the witness. He's called us to be His witnesses. He didn't call me to be a judge. I make a bad judge. I make a good witness, but a bad judge. So is that person that comes to mind, are they going to be before the throne of judgment, condemnation? Are they going to be in the book of deeds? Is that group going to be before God the judge and to taste that lake of fire with death and Hades? It's not for me to say. I'm a witness to the good news of Jesus Christ. I'm not the judge. Jesus Christ will come again to judge the living and the dead. Not me and not you. Romans 14:10, Paul said it this way, "You then, why do you judge your brother or sister? Or why do you treat them with contempt? For we will all stand before the judgment seat." See, if I judge, if I act like the judge and I show contempt, I'm not in the book of life. Because I'm living by deeds then. I'm saying this person doesn't live up to the deeds that they should be living up to. Instead of being a grace person and a faith person, I'm kind of forfeiting myself from the book of life because I'm rejecting what God has said. He's the judge. You're the witness. Witness to the good news of Jesus Christ. Number four, the lake of fire. The lake of fire. Verse 14. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the second death. That's a scary phrase, lake of fire. I told you this most sobering passage in all of Scripture. I don't get paid more to preach about this, you know. But it's in there. So I have to speak about it. The beast, the false prophet, and the devil have already been thrown into the lake of fire in chapter 19, verse 20. In chapter 20, verse 10, the devil was thrown into the lake of fire. Now death and Hades and all that have been contained in death and Hades were thrown into that same lake, which is good news. In a way, no more death, no more place of holding, no more pain. Does anybody here like death? No. Death is no more. Ultimately, it is as powerless as Satan, as the beast, and the false prophet. Finally, no more power, no more death. The only power that remains from this point forward is the power of God, the power of Jesus, and the kingdom of God. Death is cast, Hades is cast into the lake of fire, and the lake of fire is the second death. You don't have to worry about the lake of fire. If you are a Christian, a Christ follower, you are a person of grace through faith, you've experienced the first resurrection, which we talked about last week, associated with the 1,000 years, you do not have to fear the second death. I'm not worried about it at all. I'm worried about it for some people that I know, not that I'm their judge, but looking at their life, wanting to witness to them. But I'm not worried about it for myself. I'm a Christ follower. I'm not worried about it for anybody here. You are Christ followers. You are Christians. So the second death has no hold on anyone here. And somebody will probably listen to this on our podcast on the internet. You don't have to worry about it if you're a person of grace, putting your faith in Jesus Christ. Number 5, the absence of an advocate. The absence of an advocate, a defense attorney, a lawyer. John said it this way in 1 John 2:1. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, amen, the righteous one. Why are Christians not subject to the judgment before the great white throne? Because our judgment's already been paid for and been covered by our advocate, Jesus Christ. He's paid the price in full. He says those charges against them are off the table. I paid the price for them. He's the propitiation for our sins. He's the one. He's the sacrifice. We receive His grace. We believe in His grace. So He's bore the penalty for our sin. He is our advocate before the Father. But if you're a Book of Deeds people, if you're a Book of Law, if you're a Book of Moral Code, whatever yours is, they wanted to defend themselves. I don't need an advocate. I don't need anyone to defend me. I'm defending myself by how good I am, by how smart I am, by how much I have arrived. I am my own God. I am my own advocate. I am my own defense attorney. I paid the price for my own sins, not that there are any. Book of Deeds people need no advocate. They've waived a right. The judge will say, do you have someone to defend you? I'm defending myself, Your Honor. I've waived my rights to an advocate, to an attorney. The only problem is the only one qualified to plead their case is Himself, now the judge, that they stand before. And His judgment is final. It's white, it's pure, it's complete, it's holy. There is no appeal. There will be no appeal process. It is permanent. but is perfect and holy. Number six, separated from loving God and others. Separated from loving God and loving others. Paul said it this way in 2 Thessalonians 1:9. They will be punished with everlasting destruction and shut out from the presence of the Lord. And shut out from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His might. Shut out from the presence of the Lord. God is both the chief good and the fountain of all goodness, the source of all goodness in this world. And to be separated from Him is to be cut off from anything good ever again. There will be nothing good that you will ever experience once you're separated from God, because He is the source of all goodness. Man was created, woman was created, children were created for fellowship with God, and the lake of fire, hell, denies that possibility. Separated from God, separated from loving God, separated from goodness. So the lake of fire, therefore, denies man the possibility of rest, because we're not accomplishing what we were created for. It denies us any satisfaction because we're not accomplishing what we were created for. And it will deny all happiness because we were created to have a relationship with the Lord. And loving others. The picture John paints is one of total aloneness. Well, if I go to hell, I'll be there with my friends. There's no friends in hell. It's complete aloneness. The two greatest commands in all of Scripture: love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. The second is like it: love your neighbor as yourself. What is the lake of fire? What is hell? It is separation from loving God. It is separation from loving your neighbor. An eternity without God. An eternity without human contact. That's what hell is. That's what we're being separated from. The book of Deeds. Number seven. In the end, people either share in the bliss of heaven or find their place in the lake of fire. In the end, people either share in the bliss of heaven or find their place in the lake of fire. Either or. And I don't want you to just think it's a destination. I'm afraid when I teach that or say that, some people think salvation is just a destination. It's fire insurance. It is a destination, but it's the journey. Daily condemning your soul. Daily being lost. And finally, ultimately, being lost. We are Christ followers. We follow Him daily, or people reject Him, the ways of God, daily. And John is showing a sharp division in those that are saved and those that are lost. Jesus Himself said it this way, Matthew 25:41. Then He will say to those on His left, "Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels." Prepared for the devil and his angels, his followers. It was prepared for him. He's the one that's rejected God. He's the one that was completely cursed. He's the one that walked away from God, and his angels was not prepared for people. Not prepared. People were prepared to love God and to love each other. Hell was a place for people, for the devil and his angels, because they do not love God and they don't love anyone. It was prepared for them. Hell was not made for you, not made for me, not made for anyone who will listen to this CD. Hell is hot. Forever is a long time. And no one has to go there. In Jesus' name. And I believe that. I believe that. Sobering. Should be challenging to follow Christ all of our days and to pray for those who are not following Christ. Not just the ultimate destination, but daily condemning their own soul. Gaining the whole world, yet losing their soul. Jesus, we humble ourselves before you. We ask you to save us completely. Our salvation was in the past, 2,000 years ago when you died on that cross and said, "It is finished." Our salvation became a past event, but our salvation is a present event. Somewhere in our present, sometime in our recent past, we came to faith in you, Jesus. We said, Jesus is my Lord. Jesus has saved me. I'm going to follow Jesus. But also salvation is a future event. He who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it. One day our faith will be sight. We'll see you in the future. Lord, during that time, we're like Noah. We're saying the flood is coming. But it hasn't come yet. There's still time. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. He that endures to the end, the same shall be saved. We trust in you, Jesus. I ask you to bless your people. Make your face shine upon them. Increase their faith. Be gracious to them. Give them peace. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Thank you guys for coming out today.